There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. I'm a bad for doing tights. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
And welcome to From the Helicarrier, Marvel's number one gaming news source. We're just going to take that title. Marvel's number one gaming news source. Not Marvel.com. Not Playdom.com, who tells you about their own games, but us. We're the number one Marvel gaming news source. It's us. Yes. Hey, you know, Ibbit is going to come and tell us about the headlines in a second. I'm going to jump on it briefly. I get to be an American again. I just wanted to say that up front. So I'm Epic Boss McFall. You'll get it. You'll get it in a second. Okay. But I get to be an American again. I'm very, very happy about that. Okay. So we've got some headlines. Why don't you tell everybody what it is?
Sure. So headlines coming up on today's show. We're going to be talking about a new announcement from the Helicarrier, from us. We're going to be announcing something. And guess what? It's not going to come with the words soon. It's going to come with the words now. Right?
Yeah.
Death Locket gets announced as a covert ops character. So we'll talk about her. PvP has been extended to the 21st, I believe, or 22nd. So we'll talk about that. Although really that's it. Kraven is going to be purchasable soon, TM. Marvel Avengers Alliance 2 goes worldwide. We'll talk about that and give you guys some tips. And Avengers Academy gets a few Guardians added. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. But before we do, Charles is going to tell us about all the cool things we can stick in our shopping carts as we push them down the long aisle of Playdom.
Well, is nothing new going on there? We've got gold weapons for sale. There was a weather control device. I'm in the middle. You know, I can say, no, X-23 is about dead. You guys can hold on a second. But I'm in the finishing up a battle here. But I do know the weather control device was put on sale for 64 gold instead of 128. There's rumor that the Lantern of Doom is coming TM soon. So I think, and that's from the Code Divers that's coming out, because the weather control device hit exactly. They didn't give a day. They said, hey, you better hold your gold. That is coming up soon, TM.
I think it ended. I think it, it's already gone. So.
Yeah, man, I was so close. But with that Lantern of Doom, I was like, okay, the WCD is really, really good. And I could see where it really complement my play style. But that Lantern of Doom is epic for the way I do things. Every time I see it come up and play, the people I've talked to, it really fit better. And I was like, do I do both? Do I wait? And I kind of chose to wait. So right now you've got your PvP bonus weapons. You've got your Deathlock Fist for Spec Ops. And then, of course, last season's PvP items and then ISOs and whatnot. So, but keep your eye out, because the same people who said the weather control device is coming also said that Lantern of Doom is on its way. So while we don't know and Playdom won't tell us, we don't get those direct leaks, it hasn't really faltered. We haven't had that information come up wrong yet.
Right. So far, they've been right on the money, so to speak. And you know which one I'd like to see come back? The techno-organic skeleton. That's the one I'd like to see come back as a limited edition purchasable item.
That'd be cool.
Holy cow, that would come in so handy right now with the no psychic attacks, no fire, no bleeding, no poison, all that stuff. I guess you can get it on the Thursday weapon roulette, but anyway. All right, let's get to our headlines then. Number one. Oh, before that, do we have a... We have new stuff all over the place here we get to our headlines.
We do. So there was something brought to my attention today that may have actually already been fixed before we came to air. But this was a message to me. Hey, McFall, you guys should address the newest exploit today on the show. I'm seeing it more and more. They, being a team that you fight against on PvP, they put a full blaster team on defense and put the fatal ISO that causes an explosion when blasters die. So I didn't realize it cost. I read it, but you know, sometimes the words don't sink right. in. It's like, oh, that's actually, I've got a blaster on my team. I might look at that because every once in a while he dies and to cause a nice explosion against the other team is good. However, here's the bug. It is not registering properly, so it takes off over 35% of my entire team each time one explodes, causing a draw instead of the team dying getting the loss. So basically, anytime he kills the entire team at once and never took a hit, or it just kills the team, period, they explode, and then ultimately at 35%, that's right at 100%. No, that's 110, 105%, something like that. You die. So you get a draw every time. But then he came back later and I said, yeah, we're going to talk about that. We'll mention it. He sent me a screen capture of where he had let the Disney team know, turned in the ticket, help ticket. And he said he's not seeing it today. Perhaps the stealth patch last night fixed it. But that's something you have to be wary of. I haven't experienced that yet. And man, these people... Okay, it's one thing to know, okay, I'm going to run the Bruiser E3 suit because I like Bruisers. And, of course, I've got the Scutum, the Elite EISO to put on there that'll absorb health. And, yes, I like Sandy. Grit does a great thing, so I'm going to put Grit on there. Well, that's fairly standard. It could happen to anybody. And all of a sudden, Grit, at the time, they fixed it, but at the time, stacks of Grit absorbed energy and absorbed health and stamina from the other team. So you'd be almost dead. They'd punch you in the face and you'd go back to full, both health and stamina, instantly. Well, that's a bug. That's not necessarily an exploit because it's easy to think that could happen. That's how I did it. It's right. Like, oh, crap. Well, my person's a super absorbing woman, so I'm going to take that now. But you have to know about this bug to make a full blaster team.
Totally.
And then full blaster fatals on them. Who runs I mean, every once in a while I see a full bruiser team. I don't think I've ever seen a full blaster team before. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not saying... What I'm saying is the odds seem a little off. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's you know, it's certainly not every full blaster team you see out there is going to be trying this exploit.
That's true.
Yeah, and if it's been stealth patched, then all the better. So I guess let's just kind of keep an eye on it. But I haven't run into it, and I've been doing PvP all morning.
I haven't run into it at all.
Yeah, and I've been, going back and forth between Vibranium and Diamond, High Diamond, because I've been running into some killer teams. Angrier, of course, man, dude hits like a truck. And it seems like his multi-turns and his other abilities and stuff, just pain in the butt. Also, Beta Ray Bill. Need to come up with a good combat. I decided to equip the experiment. I was running the bow, the last gold sale item, which is the bow of, what is it? The bow of mending or something. It's whatever. The one that is the higher magics. Hero.
Okay. Yeah.
All the magic players. Yeah. I took that out, put the experiment in to give myself some more protection with mental attacks. It seems to be helping a little bit. Boy, I could really use this. Like I said, I could really use that techno organic exoskeleton. That is there it is, the bow binding. You could definitely use the techno organic skeleton right now, but exoskeleton. But hey, we'll work on that one on Thursday when that daily roulette comes up. Been pushing back into Vibranium to try and get into Adamantium earlier this season.
Yes.
So that it's easier just to maintain as opposed to trying to fight in that last day. I know we've got 2 weeks, but a little over 2 weeks, but why push it, right? Why try and take that chance yet again? No reason. That's why.
I'm helping out a friend of mine. So it's like I do my five and I make sure to try to log in and do his five. And I told him, it's like, you're not going to make Adamantium. I'm going to get you Vibranium
right now.
Yeah. Because when it comes down to it, game day is going to be, I'm going to be full up in my account.
Oh, and you're helping him all the way out through game day?
Yeah. Presumably. Yeah. Just it's a thing.
You're a very nice guy to offer to do that.
and mostly, I mean, he's going to be gone a long time. It's not like the prison's going to keep him down. No, he's got a job that keeps him away from accessing internet on a regular basis and not stable enough to keep up with the game. So I'm doing the login to keep his silver and his CP up. And any spec out that might drop, you know, do the basics on it and get the character and some of the farming if I can. And
dang, I hope you're charging him.
I don't know, man. I get requests all the time from people. You're doing this show, like, hey, I feel really, really weird doing that kind of thing. But in this case, the guy is a hardcore player, and he helps us out a lot. And so I was like, he didn't even ask me.
Gives you the ability, by the way, to pop on his Facebook and post things without his knowledge. Like you can put some pretty crazy stuff on his Facebook page, on his posts.
You know, that was the first time somebody approached me. I turned down a lot of people because I don't have the time, and we're just not that close. We're not like that, man. But yeah, my thought legally was, or not legally, but you know, Facebook legally, where Facebook can just kick me off of Facebook. Right. You know, some guy is like, hey, he hacked my account and started doing such and such. I was like, and how do you prove that they asked you to, you know? Right. Technically, you're not supposed to share logins, and I don't know. I was like, this guy didn't ask me. I was like, hey, you know what? You've helped me out a lot with building my teams, and you do really well, and I hate it for you that you're going to be gone for a long amount of time, you know, 3 to 6 months away from playing. And he's done it before, and he can easily come back and catch up, catch up to the point you can. You know, sometimes you can't get stuff again. But I'm like, you know, I'll do the basics. I'll help you out. So, but you're not getting out of it, Jim. That's just off the table.
Still very nice of you. It's very nice of you. All right. We're going to talk about PvP probably a little more later. But first thing on our list here is – oh, wait. Are we doing this thing right here? We should be doing that thing right there, right?
We should be doing that thing right there, yeah. Oh, that thing right there. Yes, we should. Except I don't have it in front of me. So go ahead with the next thing. We'll do that thing right there in a minute. You start. Okay, do your thing. Do you, Emmett.
All right. Do this. All right. I'm doing this. So our sponsor today are the fine folks over there at Loot Crate. Now, how cool is it that, you know, you open up your mailbox and you pull out a brand new bill from the electric company? And I'm not talking about the old 70s kids program. I'm talking about, you know, the actual public service. Yeah, you open it up and it goes, hey, you guys. No, I'm talking about like public service or your water bill. No, it's not fun, is it? How about like when you pull out an ad for a car dealership that wants to buy your Volvo back, or a politician? Ugh. That's not fun right there either. But I ask you, how fun would it be to open up your mailbox and pull out a box of mystery goodies? Like it's like a surprise package from an old friend who knows just what you like. Well, that is what Loot Crate is all about, right? It's you know, it's like getting this cool thing in your mailbox every month that has a bunch of cool geeky items, all with you in mind, and
all fully licensed and legal.
All fully licensed,
as opposed to knockoffs, because I've had people send me knockoffs.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. You're not going to get no fake Dr. Watts, right? You're not going to get a Dr. Watts.
That'd be awesome.
In a Schmartis.
Yeah.
You're going to get a Doctor Who and a TARDIS. You're not going to get something from Fallen 4. No, you're going to get something cool from Fallout 4. It's all these cool things available right now from Loot Crate. Now, Charles, if people want to get into Loot Crate, if they don't already have a Loot Crate account, what's the best way for them to help out our show and get a great deal in the process?
They need to go to lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up, which is our network, which we'll talk about more in a minute. lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up and enter code GIANTSIZETEAMUP to save $3 on any new subscription. You will be helping us out in the long run. You'll be helping yourself out. It is Christmas and birthday every month. In April, you've got to the 19th of each month to sign up to get that month's box. This month is April, and April is all about questing. You're going to get exclusive items from Labyrinth, Harry Potter, History Channel's Vikings, and Uncharted 4. Plus, of course, they've always got a t-shirt and a loot pin. and is great collectibles. I got stuff all over my desk. I've got stuff all over my, I've got stuff all through my closet. I remember, Ibbett, the first shirt that I ever got from Loot Crate was Skull Kitties. And it's all these cats. And I look at them like, what the hell did you send me, Loot Crate? This is not geeky. And then you realize the cats are in the position of a giant skull. And that is really kind of right. fun and cool.
It's awesome. It's totally rad.
So, yeah. So, cool stuff.
So, check it out, lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up. Click it today or enter that today, and it totally helps us out.
It does.
And you get awesome stuff in the process. All right. Now, let's get to current events. And the first thing on the list is an announcement from us.
What?
So let me set this up. Let me set up just my chair here because I'm sitting down today. Not at the standing desk today. I'm at the sitting desk today, which is the same desk. All right. So there are some of you out there who play Marvel Avengers Alliance, right? Probably yes. A lot of you.
I do.
It's from the Helicarrier. You guys play that game. There's probably some of you who also play Marvel Avengers Alliance 2, right?
Yes.
Probably, because it just came out. It's worldwide. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But there might even be more of you who... Well, some of you, a handful of you, who also play Marvel Avengers Academy.
I was going to say Marvel don't you Avengers talk about Alliance that Academy. Filth. I don't play that filth. I don't want to hear that AAA. On my Marvel Avengers Alliance show.
You're not imitating anybody that we know, right?
No, never mock them anyway. Mercilessly.
But, you know, and we've listened to you. We listen to you. We care about you, especially those of you who pay Patreon, who make donations to help keep the show alive.
Patreon.com/from the Helicarrier.
That's right. But we care about all of you. And we listen. We pay attention to what you're asking for. And we know that there are probably even going to be some of you that maybe play MAA2 that don't play MAA1. And this is a lot of content to get through to get to the MAA2 stuff or vice versa for Academy, whatever. Here's what we're going to do.
What?
And this is awesome, and it's rad, and it's the smart thing to do. We are going to be...
All this is because it's his idea. If it's my idea, well, we're going to try something. If it's idea, it's awesome and rad, and it's going to be amazing.
Okay. With your hand, show me on your camera how many podcast awards you have.
Oh.
Okay. All right, then. That's why it's rad.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough.
So here's what we're going to be doing. We are going to be splitting from the Helicarrier up into multiple shows. They're all going to be in on the same feed. So if you subscribe to the feed in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, you're going to get all the shows. But there's going to be from the Helicarrier, which is the base show, which is Marvel Avengers Alliance 1.
Yep.
Talk and discussion, your emails about that. Marvel Avengers Alliance 2.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're going to call that From the Helicarrier the Deuce. I don't know. We'll figure that out. We need a good name for From the Helicarrier 2. And From the Helicarrier Extra Credit, which is just going to be about Marvel Avengers Academy. And what's really cool about that is that we can direct people who play one game and not the others to a specific show and not make them sit through all this other content. Oh, I don't care about MA1 or whatever.
That's,
you know,
fair. That's fair enough.
It's totally fair. And it's a really good way to do it because they're different games. It's not like you're saying, well, if you like one, you automatically like these other ones. We know that. That's not the case. I don't play Contest of Champions or Final Fight. Charles is done with Academy. Well, kind of. We'll talk about that later.
Kind of.
And Paul is done with MA1, but loves MA2. Here's also the cool thing about that. With the MA2 show, we're going to bring back Paul Klotz. He's in for the Deuce.
I still that name. We totally have to that call might, it that now. From that the Helicarrier : the Deuce.
The Deuce. And we'll be dropping the Deuce next week.
That's right. So,
all these shows are starting up within the next 7 days. So a week from today will be MA1 and MA2. And then we're trying to decide on a good schedule for Extra Credit because Tiny Co. is really good about releasing new content on Fridays. And it'd be nice to be able to record those shows. We might do them Mondays because that gives us the whole weekend to kind of figure out, all right, what's the new mechanic? What's the what's the new trick to the new stuff they introduced? So whatever games you play, we've got a show for you. And we'll stream all three of them So if you like listening to, if you like watching this, you'll get to watch them still, and it'll still be good. It'll be just what you want.
Yep. And yes. Yeah. So there you go, guys. For everybody who's worried about, I'm never going to play MA2 and they tune out of that section, we got you covered. And if you want to play, we got you covered, which actually opens it up to more input from people who do play a future fight and contest of champions. We might be able to give you a little bit more room to write stuff, right, or help us. Yeah, whatever. Because we want to cover Marvel Gaming. Yeah. And that's going to be fun. So
awesome. All right, so
it's cool.
This show is still gonna be this episode is still gonna be all three, yes. and so we're gonna get through. And here's what it's gonna be. It's gonna be 60%. No, it's gonna be 70% MAA. Well, I don't know. Today's show, there's a lot of MAA2 talk.
There's today's gonna be a little bit differently balanced.
45% MAA1, 45% MAA2, 10% Academy.
All right, we're going to have official Nelson judges standing by to measure that percentage. So Nielsen.
Are they actually going to rate it, or are they going to go, ha-ha?
It's the second one. They're just going to go, ha-ha.
Okay, good. All right, let's talk about some MA1 news. Death Locket gets announced by MA Insiders. Well, what are you talking about? We've already been fighting Death Locket. Death Locket is all over the current Spec Ops. No. We're talking about on the other side of the wall, Death Locket being a playable character that you unlock via Covert Ops. Charles, are you excited about this news?
Actually, you know, a little bit. I am. I don't know what got in my head when I first started playing Spec Ops and saw her as the bad guy. I thought we were going to win her. And I guess this happens sometimes with some of the other Spec Ops heroes, is you go through and they're brainwashed. You know, that's been some of the storylines lately, right? And once you team up with them once or twice, you fight against them. Winter Soldier. You fought against Winter Soldier a couple of times. You ended up winning him. I don't know. When I saw her, I'm like, oh, she's going to be so cool to play. And I'm watching her freaking despair just kill my team. I'm watching all her stuff going, oh, this is going to be so cool to play. And then it dawned on me, what am I thinking? We're not going to get to play her. At no point did they say we're winning her. We're winning Cammy in this Spec Ops. And then this past week, they go, hey, Death Locket is coming soon, TM. It was on the forums, I believe it was. And she's going to be a Covert Ops reward. Which, God, man, when was the last time we had a Covert Ops?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Was it was there something with Howard the Duck, or was that am I just confusing the 14 days of
anniversary? No, he was a special collective box, but he was the Christmas box.
That's what it was. Yeah. Okay.
But we haven't had a covert.
Morbius? Was Morbius really the last covert ops? Jeez. They're saying Morbius.
That could be. That could very well be. Yeah, I want a UL covert ops. I hadn't had that in 2 years. UL did like 2 covert ops and then
said, that's no right.
More. We're not getting right.
Yeah. The greatest combination advertiser ever for Playdom was UL.
He was like, who? All right, thanks for the character, Sunfire, that I don't use ever. And he's still not 15 after like 2 years of having him.
Which is funny because UL, it should have been Electro or Shocker.
Yeah, I know, right? So, but it's
Chase Stein, whatever.
And for those of you who are maybe unfamiliar with Covert Ops, so we have Spec Ops, which you know is a month-long mission of doing the daily or doing the requirements and then doing research, and you rinse and repeat until you get all 26, 25 missions done, and then you win a character. We've got PvP, where you battle and battle and battle and win the character. We've got, of course, the regular chapters where you complete them and complete all the steps inside of them to get the alt suits, really, but it's kind of a different character. Covert Ops is a whole different beast, and it hasn't been done in a long time, and usually you have to collect a whole lot of things to get them out of Covert Ops along with fight. Every day is something new, and every day it is something new. And if you complete it, you get X amount of whatever's the collection. And once you have the collection, then you do the research and you get the character. I think that's how that works.
I think so. Yeah. Something like that. Yep.
So yeah, it's going to be, I'm looking forward to it. I like, it's one of those things like, hey, every once in a while, that's kind of cool. Kind of like that. You're doing that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm excited for this. So, yeah, I remember, yeah, 100 cups of mead and
yeah.
all those collection tasks of like getting the Warriors 3. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
Oh, right. Because we got Volstead. Yeah, it was all different, right? One of them we got as a covert ops. One of them we got as a spec ops. Is that right? Or am I?
Yeah, I think again, you're right.
I could be confusing things. But
they were basically all at the same time. And yeah, the right, covert ops was 100 cups of mead or something like that. It's like, holy crap, man. Mm-hmm. It was a lot.
Right, so. Right. Oh boy. All right. Well, so that'll be fun. We'll keep our eyes open for that. But boy, certainly the quickest turnaround we've had of a new character getting introduced in the game as a villain and then us getting our hands on them that quickly to be able to play them ourselves. So we'll keep an eye out for Deathlocket. We'll have news about that as soon as Covert Op drops.
And if they carry on with their style of humor that they've done with Howard the Duck and Deadpool, we're going to have to collect actual lockets of things. That would be awesome. That would be hilarious.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because she's Death Locket. You know what? You just get little heart lockets for the characters.
You're probably not wrong. Circuit Locket or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. Jeez. Yeah. Oh, all right, what's next?
Yeah, Poke Prof helped us out, by the way. Fandral was a general release purchase. Hogan was PvP. Volstagg was covert ops.
There you go.
So... cool. All right. Let's talk about PvP getting extended. Not much to talk about here.
Right.
April 22nd is your new ending date for PvP. So Friday, I believe. If my math is correct, and I know it's, it's suspect, I'll be honest.
Well, to be fair, Playdom's clock is not a normal human clock. So.
Right. Exactly. You know, especially
17 days is not 17 edition. Days. Them.
Exactly. So currently the calendar, the countdown on the PvP page says 16 days, right? 16 days remaining. So that puts it on the 21st is when the 24-hour countdown mm-hmm. starts, I believe is the way to think about it. So so that gives you a little extra time. Really quickly, how are you doing with PvP? We talked a little bit earlier in the show, but
I'm pushing a little bit harder, staying a little bit. I love my team, man. I do. Yep. I love my team. And I find that the underlying people play, more people playing. So then the percentages change nightly. I'm not losing very much as was last season early on. I'm not losing very much, but I'm trying to win more and more and more. And every time I get in the vibranium, then I notice one little loss will knock me out of vibranium no matter how much I get in, because I see that more people have played. And the way I see that is I'll go to bed at 4%, right? Or 3%. Mm-hmm. I'm up in vibranium. And right. then the next morning I log in to a +8 up or a -17 down. Very small number movement, but I'm at 7% now. It's like, oh, the world decided to play last night. Thank you. That's awesome. So I'm not exactly sure how the servers measure the percentages and the players and sure. how that works. But I do know, it's big numbers. So I'm noticing, okay, maybe because we're getting closer, more people are jumping in. One of the problems to start with, the reason they extended it was that certain people could not access it at all. But I'm doing okay. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying my team. And I haven't found any issues this time around.
Cool. Yeah, the only two that I seem to be not always struggling with, but occasionally struggling with are the Beta Ray Bill teams. Man, I went up against a Beta Ray Bill today that just leveled me with his first attack. Like it was all downhill. I think I lost two heroes, kept my agent, but lost two heroes in the first Beta Ray Bill attack.
Again.
And it was just brutal. And this was just on the cusp of vibranium. And then another one with Angrier, and that's why I decided to equip the experiment, just because that seems to help. I've also got the Resist Death EISO on Null, since he's the guy who kind of like jumps up and takes a lot of the hits, like yes. sometimes does a protect ability. I want him to have a little bit more survivability. So I've got the Back from the Dead EISO on him. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a...
It's the Monty Python. I'm not dead.
Yeah, I'm not dead yet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's cool. And been doing a lot better since I equipped that. It just goes to show you that PvP, there's a couple things to always think about during the whole season of PvP. Number one, you're going to adjust your character, your team, and your weapons based on how you're doing throughout. As you go through gold and silver levels and then up to diamond levels, you're probably going to have to do some adjusting of your team and your weapons because they're going to start to go against different common enemies. Same when you go from, into vibranium and into adamantium, you're going to have to do a lot of switching around. Number two, just as the season goes on, there's a lot of changing of the meta. Yeah. So what works for your team right now may not work a week from now as people are like, I'm facing a lot of X. I need to compensate for that with Y. And as those teams change, you need to change your tactics. So don't get complacent in the fact that the team you're running with right now is the team you're going to be running with throughout the rest of PvP, because it probably won't be. You're probably going to have to adjust, and you're going to have to sit back and appreciate that fact. You're going to have to accept it.
Yeah, you just have to roll with the punches sometimes.
You have to roll with the punches, exactly. Yeah. So keep an eye on that and be ready to roll with it. That's just the way the game works. But so far, I'm the same way. I'm enjoying my team. I'm still using my Null Valanche. However, I've been thinking about other teams. Went up against an Ares team. We talked about that last week, and PokeProf. Mm-hmm. Was it last week or the week before? PokeProf did the thing on Ares.
Week before, I think. Yeah.
Ares, if you've got him ISO'd up or you've got him set up, man, he can be a monster, and he's a really good character to build a team around right now. So, be thinking about that.
Changing your team as you play. I was like, look at my defense because I don't even remember what my defense is, and I have angrier on defense. So I clicked on it.
Good.
Well, in between the seasons, I basically stripped the stuff I had on him for using him and put it on other people, and so I'm actually getting like net plus eight up with a zero ISO'd up. Hey, Grab, he had nothing in his EISO. He had one AISO on him. I was like,
right.
Oh, let me throw some stuff on him and maybe I'll actually get bigger pluses going on. Who knows?
Nice.
So, yeah, check your stuff. It slips through the cracks so easily.
I really need to finish chapter 10 and get angrier already. I've been so focused on Spec Ops, PvP, and MAA2 that chapter 10 is just kind of, twisted in the wind. It's been nothing. Haven't done anything with it, so I need to get back out of that because of friggin' Angrier. He's a powerhouse, especially if you've got a good team to support him. He's really, really good. So
I'm running an interesting defense that once we get a little bit later on into the season, I'll tell more people about. It's working right now, and it's something you wouldn't think of together that I wouldn't think of.
We already know it includes Angrier, so there's that.
Yeah. So all right. What we got?
Next on our list, we're going to be talking about Kraven pretty soon. If you missed out on Kraven, you're going to be able to buy him. He was PvP two seasons ago, and he's going to be purchasable soon. We don't know exactly when, but hopefully soon. And that'll help round out a couple more members, or one more member, I should say, of your Sinister Six. Kraven coming soon. And I guess, 200 is what we assume since he's a PvP character?
Yeah. No. Lot boxes are 200. PvP is 130 something.
Yes. I'm sorry. That is correct. Yes. Right.
Still, I don't know if I want to pay that much for a cereal with chocolate in the middle of it. It's just weird.
What? Oh, crazy.
You don't do that. You got there.
Jeez. Yeah, I've got kids. They know that. That's cereal. That's not cereal, by the way. That's like,
I know.
Right? It's like a snack.
I probably will end up recruiting him because I've got everybody off the list that I can get at this point. There's three lot boxes that I didn't get. They're neither here nor there. And so I think with the recruitment of Spider-Gwen for the Spec Ops, that was my last purchasable hero off the list. Mm-hmm. So, I'll get him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't. Yeah. He's too much of a planner. You know, he's a great character. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But for my style, you know, I want you to go in, smack somebody in the face, and then kill him. You know, he's like digging traps and said, "It's like, I think Jesus, we ain't got time for that." Anyway.
Okay. All right. So, barreling through these things, MA2 went worldwide last week, so available everywhere now, wherever your apps are sold, at least Android and iOS and Windows app, right? I think there's a Windows. Yeah. So if you don't already have it, then what's the matter with you? Why don't you have it yet?
That's why I'm not an American, because I'm able to play on my regular U.S. account.
You're all.
And, which yes, I did do.
Because you're not Australian anymore, I'm not is what Australian. You're saying.
There you go. But I'm very happy to have that worldwide now. And we're going to give you a few tips on getting set up. I went and promoted my Ally link on the day it released and put it out on Twitter through From the Helicarrier and put it out on Facebook through From the Helicarrier as well. And practically instantly filled up my entire, I had about 20-something allies before that, and pretty much instantly filled up my ally bar to where I apologize now, but I have to reject incoming requests. And I actually had to eliminate a few people off of my list to fit Paul Klotz, who is part of our team in there, and Chris Wisdom, who is also part of our Giant Size Team Up Network team. And if you don't have FTH in your name, there's nothing against you. But if you do request a spot on my team, an ally, and you have FTH in your name, you're more than likely going to have me bump somebody off my list to put you in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. It'd be nice to know if the people that I have in my 50, if any of them are FTHers, because
some you can figure out because I'll have their same screen name as the chat or something like that. That helps.
Right. You know, my null just got one-shotted by Spitfire. This is awesome. All right, just super happy.
Spitfire is being a boss again.
I mean, yeah, she is.
She is tough. She is. Tough girl.
So anyway, I'm sorry. So MA2, if you, like I said, if you send us a request, a friend request, make sure to let us know that you're MA2. And like I said, hopefully we can figure out who is already in our friend list that isn't FTH so that we can get rid of them and make room for you because we want you in there.
Re-71. Everybody has their own opinion. And by all means, if it's just not your thing, that's fine. And I know Mike Woodard, who is our producer, said he tried it. He just didn't care enough to play on his iPad. But Reese says, I did one match of MAA2 and uninstalled it. How do you really get a feel for it in one match is all I'll say. But if it's not your thing, that's fine. But.
Yeah, it's totally fine. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just know. You know almost immediately. Good Lord. And now is she about to one-shot my agent? Harmony. They've got her. They've got her just beefed up, man. Holy cow.
Yeah.
So let's give you guys some tips since this is the first week with MA2. Let's give you guys some recommendations. When you get to pick your first Avenger, a couple of recommendations there. Iron Man is just kick-ass DPS, especially AOE DPS, like attacking the entire other team. He's really good. Black Widow is another one that's really, really good. Those are the two.
Those are the two.
Depending on what your setup is.
Now, here's the special thing about Iron Man. Like you said, the missile attack is super devastating, and it hits everybody. I mean, it's epic, but it's not necessarily a recharge in MAA2, but if you think about MAA1 in those terms and how you hit rest to get your stamina back, his rest is built in fourth attack. That's all rests basically have benefits. His benefit is a super shield that is epic. I mean, it's two or three times larger than the shield you get off of ISOs. So just keep that in mind, that with a massive shield and the missiles, he'll wreck the team. Black Widow, very, very good at stealthy. She can get EISOs that put her on stealthy. One or two of her attacks will put her in stealthy, and then the other attacks that she has will capitalize on
stealthy. Will take advantage of stealthy. Yeah, her ballerina attack basically if she's stealthy, her ballerina attack can one shot the other team. And if not one shot, then certainly take them down 3/4 of the way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So there's your two standards. And I picked the Hulk because I love the Hulk. And like, it was early days and we didn't know what the other characters could do. So I'm going to take the Hulk. Honestly, as much as I love the art and I love what he does, he has worked for my team so much and he still does to a point. But I would definitely choose either Iron Man or Widow now. I probably would go Widow, oddly enough, because she's so sneaky and she does devastate so well if you do it right.
Totally. But, yeah, for sure. Some other recommendations: save your purple points. Don't just buy all the abilities for a character. Here's the deal. As you go through, and you will do a lot of grinding. I'm going to let you know right now that, this game has what feels to me like more grinding than MAA1. After you get through, not even necessarily after you get through a chapter, you may find that the next battle that logically comes next is just too difficult for you. Totally makes sense. You hit a wall with your current characters, and the next thing you need to do is kind of start working on leveling them up. The best way to do that is to grind some of the earlier chapters and get the red power cells, because what those do for you is they open up other abilities for characters that you already have. You're not going to get abilities for characters you don't have, which is really cool, out of the red power cells.
Correct.
And if it's an ability you do already have, you get 50 action points, the purple points.
Well, you get half of what it costs. So if you pull down a 3-star ability that you already have, you'll get 200.
Yeah. You don't get those out of the red ones, though. The red ones are all.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I apologize.
It's the top level one that you get.
You're right.
So open. You want to earn as many of those red ones. And so if you're going into smaller chapters, to me it feels kind of like the. You remember the was it MODOK that was the loot pinata?
Yes.
The harder you hit, the more likely it is if you take out a character that they're going to drop a little glowing dot that goes up to your loot crate on the top right of your screen. And at the end, you open up all the dots that have gone up there. And it seems like if you definitively take out a character, with a lot of overkill, basically, then you increase the chances that you're going to get one of those glowing dots. So doing the earlier chapters and doing AOE hits that hit hard, Hawkeye's attacks, if you beef him up, his triple, his AOE attack, Iron Man, et cetera, you can get yourself a lot of those little glowy dots, and a lot of those will turn into red power cells. Then you open them all. You get a lot of the red, or you get a lot of the action points, and then you can start figuring out, all right, let me know the best 3 or 4 abilities for each character. Work on leveling those up individually, because you can actually turn them from 1-star abilities, or if they're already 1-star or 2-star, you can increase the star level of those abilities. Those will help tremendously in how quickly they come back up for availability again, and how much they hit for, how much damage they hit for. So really, really work on those abilities. Mm-hmm. As far as when you're picking which older missions to do, I usually look at what the roulette prize is. It's, one of the top roulette prizes is almost always going to be a new 3-star ability for a character. If you're going to be grinding, you might as well be grinding a mission that gets you an ability for a character you have, because those will drop abilities for characters you don't have. Yeah. So,
but they will store into your computer library. I had that.
So if you do
Spider-Man,
eventually get that character.
Yeah. When I did finally recruit Spider-Man, I had 2 extra powers already unlocked because I accidentally got him on the roulette before I had him. So you don't lose anything. That's the thing. In this game, I haven't found where you lose anything. You get everything is just randomly.
Right. Your daily, always do your dailies. You get 3 tasks in your daily. Usually one of them is either empowering your heroes with unstable ISO 8 or opening power cells in the lockbox. That's almost always going to get you another scouting mission run, another 12 points for your scouting mission. you'll have another task that is like defeat mini bosses or kill Kree aliens or Sinister Syndicate members, whatever. Mm-hmm. It'll be like defeating AIM soldiers. It'll usually be like regular chapter battle stuff. There's a great resource with the Wikia, do a search for Wikia Marvel Avengers Alliance 2, and you'll find the Wikia and it'll tell you, all right, do this chapter, this mission, and you'll get your 10 that you need.
And so Reddit has been Reddit's a scary place, but you know, if you Google, you know, AIM soldiers MA2, Reddit for me pops up first, and I go right to that one post and it tells me exactly what I need. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. And then your third one is going to be, you know, sometimes PvP related play or win one PvP match or play three PvP matches or whatever. And again, obviously, you know how to do those. For each day that you do those, you get obviously the power cells associated with them, but you also get five gold.
Yep.
After a week of getting five gold a day, you've got 35 gold, 25 of which you can turn into potentially a new character. So I do a spin up for a new character at least once a week.
Nice.
And if you're logging in every day, you get gold in other ways too. You get gold on the daily roulette, or not daily roulette. You get gold from the roulette at the end of the spin, right? You get gold sometimes from the daily check-in. You get four days a month where you get gold and one day a month where you get another superior power cell. So that's how you can get more characters. I have not spent one penny on this game.
Mm-mm,
and just from the early release, I've got all but seven characters. And that includes, you know, like Nova, the current PvP character, and a couple of the Age of Ultron characters. You know, that's just the randomness of pulling it. So I know the whole power cell thing sucks for people like us who are used to MAA and saying, I want that character. I'm going to buy that character. That is that we got. Well, no, it's not that we got spoiled by that. It's the right way to do it. Unfortunately, MAA does not do it that way. So you just got to go with the randomness, got to go with the roulette of getting a character. Yeah. But, you know, grind-wise, you can get through a mission a lot quicker with this game than you can with MA1.
Yes. Yeah, indeed.
So getting to that end and getting to that roulette, boss battle, etc., you can get, you know, you can get those shots at them. And you can get, you know, trying for a character every week, compare that to earning up enough CP to buy a character after 3 weeks of grinding in MA1. I mean, take your pick. It's a bad way of doing it. It's crummy that they do it that way, the slot machine of characters, but it's the way it works.
I've gotten to where I like it, because here's my problem. Now I understand your point fully. I understand everybody's point of the lack of control, but my experience has been personally, I'm a little like a squirrel when it comes to planning. The early days of MAA1 was, here's your 10 characters. Well, I could understand three of them. I knew how to use them exactly like the hammer that I wanted to use them as, and I could get through. We have well over 100 characters now, and new ones get dropped. And it's like, okay, I see on your meta, you've got angrier, and I can go get angrier, but how do I level them? Which suit do I use? It's a lot of stuff that I have to really dive and spend time. Whereas with what I did learn to appreciate, and learn is the key word, I learned to appreciate the roulette of going, oh, I see you have Wasp, and I don't have Wasp, and I can't go get Wasp. But who do I have that could counter that? And how do I? Mm-hmm. So it helped me go, oh, I only have this little bit of a pool to pick from. Let me figure out how I want to do it. Now, I've enjoyed all the characters, but I've got a Luke Cage, who is a great character, that is still a level one that I haven't touched since I recruited him, because I'm focusing on Angela, who is super boss in my game, and Black Widow. So the roulette let me understand him a little bit better, instead of just going out and go, I'm going to buy a tank and I'm going to buy all the armory items I need. It may turn into that, but right now you can't really wallet warrior your way through this.
No,
you can throw some money and pay your platinum tax and have a little fun with it for sure, but you're not going to wallet war your way through. And I think the randomness helps with that some. That's just, it's not much of an argument, but it's a little bit.
It's a little bit. Yeah, and EISO, so ISO's, ISO 8 in this game has the, is combined, is basically the combination of ISOs and EISOs in MA1. The ISOs you equip not only give you increased health, increased attack, increased evasion, whatever, but they also have the increased, they give you EISO powers, like they give you extra abilities and stuff. So that's kind of a way that you can customize your characters further. There's always, it feels like there's always something to do in this game, you know, whether you're working towards the current spec ops or PvP, or, you know, you've got your characters, you've got the characters you want and you're grinding, you're leveling their abilities and leveling them, star leveling them. Mm-hmm. There's always something you can be working towards to better your team. Whereas sometimes it feels like in MA1, you know, I've got them equipped EISO, I've got them equipped with AISO and regular ISO. There's not much else I can do to that character. It feels like there's more you can do to evolve your characters in MA2. So that's either good or bad, depending on if you like that sort of grind. I don't mind it. I kind of didn't like it at the beginning, I'll be honest. It's like, all right, so I've got to star the characters, I've got a level there, XP level, and their abilities have levels as well. What's the deal?
Yeah.
So that took some wrapping my mind around. You know, like I said, once you start doing that and doing more of it, it makes sense. What else?
I think it's enough to make it a different game from MA1, so that there's only comparisons in the way your mind works and see things, as opposed to an old game versus a new game. It's not that at all. It's two great games that are built around the same basic concept and done in totally different ways that work for different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. The turn order, stuff like that. Little explanation on how that works. The bar that's across the top, the little light blue bar that it's across the top, has obviously the turn order like we've seen with MA1. But instead of it being ABC, XYZ, ABC, XYZ in that order, some of your abilities are shorter, quicker abilities, and you'll get to use those faster and more frequently. And it'll show you, like as you select them, it'll show you where on that action bar your next turn will be if you use that ability. So let's say you do need to do a Hawkeye setup where he's going to do Overwatch and then have a follow-up attack. You may decide, ooh, that puts him too far past these other attacks I need to do. Let me go ahead and get him with a shorter attack so that I can use him sooner. And all of those upgrading the stars for an ability improve that. They all help with, a lot of them, I should say. As you increase the number of stars on an ability, sometimes you increase the speed and the attack. So
it improves the ability. Always.
It improves the ability. Oh, it always improves the ability, but it might improve it by speed. It might improve it by how much damage you do, et cetera. So, so there you go.
Yep. And so we're going to be doing more of that. I know Ibbett's been busy. He's working on a graphic beginner's guide PDF to the game so you can kind of get the ideas. But I think we've covered the basics of the questions that people ask. How should I spend my gold or save it? Gold comes fluidly. It really does. And so use it however you like. Always save a reserve, because you'll find that one battle that you need to gold continue through because you just don't want to fight it again. So save a little bit, but definitely go for your new characters. I don't really know that I've used it to convert into anything else. I think I might have converted some gold. I might be making this up too. I can't remember if you can do this or not. If I converted it, it would have been into the action points to do more research for somebody, those kind of things, to get them up to three stars. I don't have any four stars yet. But yeah, you can spend everything fluidly and it will come back to you. You do have to manage your resources for sure. But you can do it. You can buy more energy for 5 gold. Everything's, the minimum is 5 gold on pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you can definitely renew your energy. You can go scouting missions. Hopefully, and we'll let you know when it does, hopefully they will bring back these silver scouting missions that were on Saturdays that let us farm silver. Because that's a little bit of a tough spot to be in, because silver is just as valuable as everything else. And if you get low on it, if you get low on anything, you're hurting yourself. So
right. Nope, totally true.
Oh, and then the other thing is PvP. I find I'm level 30 and I'm using all level 30s in my battles. And I find sometimes the battles are easy and sometimes I just can't make progress. And if I can't make progress, if I just get smashed in the face over and over, I'll take a break and come back. And that usually, taking some time away, lets a new set of enemy combatants to come through, you know, defensive teams, so I can fight them. But I found this to be true. Every time I get on a roll and I'm winning 4 and 5 and 6 in a row, the second I stop, I lose my momentum. You know, I don't, if I come back the next day, I don't get 3 in a row. It'll be 2 and then I'll lose 1 or something like that. And it just so happens the time I get to sit down, like, oh, I'm on a roll and I'm just PvPing like a mug. And my wife's like, hey, can we go do such and such? Like, but baby, I'm killing people finally. I'm not stuck anymore.
Right.
But
right.
There is a natural ebb and flow to this game of being the king, the conqueror, and being stuck behind the wall. And it just, I don't know if it's intentional. I don't know if it's a great algorithm that kind of figures out when people are playing and ups and ups and lowers the difficulty level for you. But I do know in the time that I've played, I found that sometimes it gets a little tough. And as long as I stop, I can come back and, oh, look, it's easier again. Not easy, but easier. You know, I can make my way through. And, of course, leveling your heroes and ranking them up or finding a new attack to add to it. I ended up putting the multi-arrow back on Hawkeye because of Ibbet. You know, I used Ibbet's Hawkeye at one point and saw how he had his Hawkeye set up. And went, you know what? I like how you've got him leveled up. I'm gonna go put that back on, level that power up, and let's see what happens. And it's worked out pretty well.
That's cool. Yeah, that's totally the way to think about it is like that. It ebbs and flows, just like that.
Yeah.
I was adjusting your volume. You're coming in hot today, and I'm coming in, and I'm a little hoarse, so I'm coming in a little quieter.
All right.
But Seraph One, by the way, Seraph One in the chat room really likes your microphone. says that you have a great mic.
So Avengers Academy, I'm gonna let you take this, of course.
Oh,
but
sure.
Everybody knows that, you know, I said, oh, I took it off my tablet, and I did. And then a week later it became available on the Amazon Kindle Fire, which my kids have, and it's perfect for them to play. So I'm getting them into the game, and I'll be actually able to speak when we do, if I choose to, if, you know, join in with Ibbet on the extra credit episode from the Helicarrier. We'll be able to keep up, but it's on the Fire in case anybody else is out there using that and you can get it. But what new is to in the game now?
All right, so they've added Guardians of the Galaxy. They've added a probably, again, you know, the equivalent of a big Spec Ops. It's funny, they keep it seems like they add content fairly regularly. Something may end on Sunday, but they've always got something new that start up on Friday. Prior to this, it was Pepper Potts and Quake, and there was a big long chain of events you had to do to unlock Pepper Potts. There was a thing before with Red Hulk and A-Bomb that you had to unlock. The current thing is a month-long event where you can unlock all of the Guardians of the Galaxy as well as Nebula and Yondu. And the way you do this is by fighting the Chitauri that have shown up in your academy. Now, to fight the Chitauri, you need to unlock Iron Man's new armor. He's got the new Nova style armor. You've also got to, or you also can, unlock Star-Lord because he can fight the Chitauri, and you can buy Nebula with shards. All three of them have the ability to fight the Chitauri. They get you additional resources. Use those resources to upgrade other parts of the game, and then eventually work your way towards getting Groot, Rocket Raccoon, all that. It is a process. Let me just say that to get through all this. There's a lot of stuff to do. There are a lot of tasks to complete. And the typical game like this that has the fabricated scarcity is basically the disruptor balls, whatever they're called, disruptor generators. Anyway, those are the balls that allow you to fight the Chitauri. So you need to figure out ways to get those as frequently as possible. The cool thing is there are a lot of tricks you can do to work with your bulletin board to get the things you want. And we talked a little bit about this last week, where basically you keep all of your items finished, all of your tasks finished, and only unlock the one, or only collect the one that gives you the disruptors. Once you collect it, it gives you a new task for disruptors, and you just rinse and repeat and rinse and repeat. You're going to be waiting a minimum for 4 hours for the tasks for the disruptors. You can also spend shards, obviously, and get a little disruptor factory that spits out a bunch of those. Right now, the only thing you can do, the only character you can unlock is Star-Lord. Next week, it'll be, I believe, Gamora. And then after that, Drax, and then Rocket, and then Groot. So you only have to worry about one character a week, which makes it a lot easier. And so far, I unlocked Star-Lord within a couple days. So it's totally doable for free-to-play players, for sure. So keep an eye on that. And I guess from now on, you're going to get these as part of From the Helicarrier Extra Credit, which keep an eye on the feed for when those air. And and we'll leave it at that. Me and potentially Chris Wisdom putting that show together.
Yes.
So we're in talks to do that, and it'll be great to do that with a co-host. I don't think as you've shown, Charles, doing this solo not as fun as doing it with a co-host.
It's always more fun with people. That's why our community Agents Only Lounge works so well. So I think it is now time, speaking of community, to reach out to people in our community, and I believe it's going to be All Hail the King now. And hey, just so everybody knows, I actually spent time ahead of time making sure the whole file plays. So if it doesn't play, I'm blaming Playdom on this one. All right, here we go.
It's on you. Yeah.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now today, I just want to talk to you about a few different topics, and they're going to cover both the Marvel Avengers Alliance games, but I want to begin with MAA1 and the announcement of Deathlocket. Now, I actually still have to do a Cammy All Hail the King episode, and we kind of skipped that and did Hellcat instead. I'm not really a fan of Cammy. I almost want to pretend she didn't even happen, but I really haven't given her a chance either. I'm actually kind of scared in this meta. The meta is almost entirely worthy, and they are seriously difficult to contend with. Unless I use a certain setup, then it's easy. Or easier. I don't have a problem with them, but once I start deviating, it gets a little tricky. I really found that out when trying to mix and match pieces from the current Spec Ops set. There is going to be a full video of the full set later today, but when I was trying out different ideas with just two pieces of the set, we had some really crazy outtakes, I guess you could say. And because of that, I'm really tempted to put together a video showing just like bloopers and outtakes and just how things went horribly wrong at times. Like I said in the past, attacking usually isn't that difficult, but during this stretch, it was hilariously tough, at least at times. So it could make a pretty entertaining video.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to work on editing that together, and we'll see how it comes out and if I'll post it or not. But back to Deathlocket. We kind of got way off topic there. It was announced yesterday, I believe, that she's going to be a covert task. And I think a lot of us thought there was a lot of time and effort put into her, and she should definitely be released. So it's pretty cool news. I'm going to go over what she most likely will have, but she might not have everything. Still, the current boss version first has Cybernetic, immune to bleeding, burning, chilled, and obsolete tech, plus very high crit resistance, and this I think she's gonna need. After that, she has dependable ranged. Her ranged moves cannot be locked out. I don't see a problem with that one either, so hopefully she has them both. Her final passive says Recon AI, attacks apply combat data, gain combat intel when enemies attack. plus Snipe gains despair and remove buffs. Now on some versions, I believe this is in her passives. In others, you have to activate it. I wouldn't be surprised if it's part of a multi-function with the combat AI. So for example, combat AI is a quick action, and it says, gains follow-ups and counters costing 1 combat intel. Attack actions also gain combat assessment. Then it says remove debuffs. Unfortunately, it removes Recon AI. So I guess you would use Recon AI first, and then combat AI may start on cooldown. Recon AI though is the other quick action, and it does exactly what I said. Attacks apply combat data, gain combat intel when enemies attack, and Snipe gains despair and remove buffs. So despair and the whole combat data intel and how it works with follow-ups and counters is a really amazing feature. Something very different and unique to this character. So I fully expect her to have that. Most likely as a multi-function, of course. It also looks like she has a default counter and follow-up attack, which is rapid fire. It's a ranged gun energy radiation attack. It applies radiation exposure and gamma exposure. So nearby energy attacks may apply radiation exposure. Another one of her moves is flamethrower. This applies scorched to enemies with burning. It's going to put burning on all enemies. Plus it has superior firepower. Chance to cause intimidated, melt armor, and shell shocked. So that's an AoE attack. Then she has Mega Blast. It exploits radiation. Finally, that snipe that can gain despair. Well, it has guaranteed hit. Hopefully they add a little bit more to some of these abilities. Or possibly they're just going to be high damage attacks. We'll have to see. But all in all, she sounds way funner and better than Cammy to me. Still though, we are going to do that episode on Cammy this week, and we're still thinking about her. We'll try to make her usable. But talking about Deathlok, it actually took up a lot of our time. So as far as Marvel Avengers Alliance 2, I'm finally going
to
have a level 20 hero. It's going to be Hawkeye first, but I have been lucky enough to win Wasp. So I've just been working on it, and I really do enjoy the game. There's a few things I wish were different, but all in all, I'm having a lot of fun, and I'm thinking about making some really basic tutorials just to start out. I know that's not going to help most of you. I'm fortunate enough to have some of you as my allies, and I already use your level 30 characters to absolutely destroy enemy waves. So I know you guys are far beyond this, but I still think it could be helpful. But as far as that game, I'm just going to keep playing and I'll get there one day. Anyways, that's going to be it for today's segment. So I want to thank you all for listening and send it back to the hosts.
So if I had one thing to say about Cammy is I did recruit her and I've been going back through and farming the missions. And of course she's required for a lot of the boss battles in the Spec Ops. She's maybe level 3 at best. I know she's not higher than level 3. She survives most of the battles, and she actually does pretty well. I got to say, it's a different style, and I'm liking her pretty decently. I'm not saying she'll be the end-all be-all PvP, and I want everybody to hear that about Kingfisher's. His mind is always PvP. How does this work in PvP, and what does this do? That's his thing. I don't know that she will do well in PvP at all, but as a character in general, I think it was a good character to bring to the table, and she's holding her own, and she's doing fairly well in the process.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd go along with that for sure.
So now we have Pokeprof, and let's read his little note. This is on Quake. Decided that with all the new things I've been doing on my show recently, I go back to my routes and show off some of the things about a hero who might not be used often or thought of as strong, and try to show it off a bit. That said, this time around, I have a little bit of an allergy attack, so I'm sorry if I sound a little stuffed up. Oh, no. Oh, that was the last thing I played. He sounded like Kingfisher, didn't he? No. All right. So Quake, I could use some words on Quake because, again, on paper, she's good, and PvE, she's decent. She's pretty good, especially teamed up with the right person. I'd like to hear what the Pokeprof has to say. It's going to load, and here we go.
Greetings, agents, and welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood poker prof, here to talk to you today about a hero who is often overlooked by many, but I think might deserve a second chance, especially with all the ISOs we got from the anniversary, as well as a new potential partner in the form of Shocker. She's a powerhouse hero who can completely turn a fight on its head with the right setup. So let's see if I can show you the true power of Quake. The first thing I've got to point out for Quake, or for any hero that uses Finest Hour now, is that the Risen Force EISO is a godsend for them. It makes it so that you're not forced to rely on Heimdall all the time for your buffs, and someone like Daisy, who also gets her rising up through another effect, this can make it easier to get her buffs up and keep them up. It also makes it even better considering she's a hero that uses flanked naturally on her level 1, which means extra attacks will just keep on coming. The next thing I've got to point out is Quake's third ability, the Mega Thrust Earthquake. With the new ISO that you can actually get from this Spec Ops, the Collapsing AISO, this becomes one of the most devastating attacks around. Think about it. You've got Immobilized, which counters a lot of the strong and popular heroes in the PvP meta right now who are focused on melee attacks. You've got Aftershock, which is flat out free damage. You've got Fumbling, which allows you to have free counterattacks off the single target attacks of the few ranged heroes you're going to be fighting. And then you've got Hobbled, removing all stealthy attacks. This is on top of being able to use the attack every single turn if you're wanting to. It's a potent little combo, and it's definitely something that packs a punch if you also happen to have the Inhuman at level 15 for those extra turns. Finally, don't forget that Quake can actually equip a lot of the more general use ISOs for her power in battle. With her other attacks being ranged and melee properties respectively, she's capable of grabbing general use ISOs like Pulpy and Shieldbreaker. She's no slouch when it comes to hitting hard either, with her level 9 having deadly crits, catastrophic, and brutal strike to attend with, allowing her to hit someone and hit them hard. Quake is slightly overlooked as a hero, mostly because of her Sonic-based skill set that doesn't synergize well with many other heroes. With Shocker coming in and seeming to be a near-perfect partner for the Inhuman, it might be worth giving her another try. Who knows? She might just be all of the sunshines and daisies that you need. Head back to the helicarrier agent and see what they think about some of these ideas.
They suck. No, of course not. That's very, very cool. On Etopia also says calculated force in addition to intrepid force is also good. So, Anado was unable to get audio in this week. Issues again.
Bummer.
But yeah, there's a great build on the thing last week, and it trended well on our Facebook page. So we definitely appreciate that.
He's got a good write up right now of Shocker and Gorgon in the chat room right now. I don't want to see that get lost as things scroll up. So
he'll actually do an official write up.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's really, really good about that. I actually took myself out of the process so that when he does do a write-up, it goes straight to the Facebook page.
Oh, nice.
Therefore, it won't be weeks behind of the audio or anything like that. So it
gated,
seems right. Yeah.
Right.
Nice. Yep. So I guess we are now on to From the Field.
Yes.
So
I'll tackle this first one. Right. Agent Tech Paradox wrote in, says, reporting in from the spring rain-soaked plains of BFE, Illinois. As I write this, we're 3 days into PvP, and from what I can see, it's a case of meet the new meta, same as the old meta. Cool reference there. It had me really scratching my head when you guys talked about the lack of a meta game during the last PvP a couple episodes back, because as far as I could see, when it came to defensive teams, it was the same handful of characters from one horizon to the other. I think that's what we were saying, is that it just hadn't changed. But sure, there were a few random oddball teams here and there, but once you got past a certain ranking, you were pretty much guaranteed to start seeing the old familiar faces ad nauseum. At this point in the season, I'm starting to claw my way out of the noob ranks of Silver and Gold League, and guess what I'm running into? Same thing as last season. Null Kurth, Angrier Kurth, Pestibeast Enchantress, P5 Colossus and Kurth. It's a lineup of the usual suspects. No argument there.
Yeah.
My question is this. Would it be too much to ask for PD to actually introduce something that is a game-changing to get rid of the whole metagame once and for all. In the past 4 years, we've been all over the usual talking points about how bad PvP actually is, so there's no need to rehash them here. If they decide to switch PvP up to the same system they're using in MAA2, you'd see me doing cartwheels in the streets and giving them a big dude. That'd be a sight to see. I don't think it's too much to ask that they take a long, hard look at their business model for the game and seriously consider a revamp of certain things in the event that they decide to make the jump from being a Flash-based game to something that's more future-proof.
Hey, we don't talk DC on this show.
Jeez.
No? Okay.
Yeah, I get it. Tech Paradox. So talking about the meta, we've had those game breaker things before added to the game and during PvP. And it's, boy, has it thrown a lot of hate into the works. Yeah. Introducing during last season all those new AISOs and EISOs. It's just a bad thing to do to introduce those during a PvP season, especially during the last week of a PvP season. So rather than see new things introduced that are just going to become the new meta, like basically something like that takes out, we figured out a new weapon we're going to introduce and it makes you impervious to everything that Angrier does or that Kurth does or whatever. Rather than do that, it may be time to look at those teams again that are the always play teams, Nuln Kurth, Angrier Kurth, Pest Beast Enchantress, and figure out what can be done to those characters to not necessarily nerf them, but make their abilities more balanced in with the rest of the game. There's a reason everybody picks those teams. It's because they win all the time. If they win all the time, that's a balance issue. And if there's a balance issue, you can address those without nerfing the character, but just adjusting what that character can do. Maybe it is a little bit of a decrease over here, but it's an increase in this other spot, whatever. But something that adjusts that character so that it's not as much of a powerhouse. I guess that means nerfing, right?
I guess so.
You know, there's not a way to say nerf, not to nerf, but
balance. You're just trying to bring balance.
Right. Right, exactly.
And I think so, one of the major things that make it meta less is what he said, take off those defensive losses. You know, that's the biggest thing. There's still a meta in MAA, too. You know, the meta is Wasp, will kick your ass.
Right.
And they did nerf her a little bit, and that brought the meta back to balance. And the same thing with Star-Lord. What I find when I go into a battle in MAA 2 is when they get their first hit, it doesn't matter who goes first. What I notice is the first hit, how much did it move my health bar? And then my first hit to their team, how much did it move their health bar? And by that, if it's about the same, this is going to be a fun battle. If they destroyed my bar and I didn't touch theirs, I'm going to get trashed. If I destroyed their bar and they didn't touch mine, I'm about to thrash them. And it is about how you level up your team and how you balance your team and how they play well together. But the meta still is there are certain characters that do better than others. However, if you remove that defensive losses in MAA2, no defensive losses. You live and die by your attack. That's it. And that definitely changes how the game plays. And I think they could do that here, possibly.
It'd be great if they did, And I'm not sure if MAA2 still gives you the... Does MA2 still give you the, like, if you earn a rank? Because I know you can drop ranks now, not just drop dots within a rank, but you can drop ranks.
I think you always could. I think it was the only thing that locked you in. We didn't quite focus our energy on finding that out definitively, but I think what I've found now, what I did notice, I don't start at 25, which is the base rank. I started coming out of the last tournament. I started like in the middle, 15.
Yeah, so did I, which is great. Here's what I'm curious about then. If you drop a rank, maybe it's that you don't lose the reward, I think, is the deal.
I don't know.
Not including us. I'd be interested to find that out. That would be the great thing about MA2. And of course, somebody in Reddit posted this, and I think it's a great idea. Wish that there was a way to kind of start a movement for people to do this. But if when you're done playing your PvP for the day, take out Wasp and put in your lowest character. just to make things a little bit easier, because whatever offense team you put out there is who people are going to be playing against in defense. And since there are no defensive losses, there's no point in having, you know, it helps everybody out if you put in a crappy character in there. So,
I'll give you my level one Luke Cage
version or something. You know, yeah, exactly. I'm going to start doing it. Whenever I do PvP, I'll just remember to do that. And if you go up against Agent Coverville FTH, or am I Let Me Win FTH? I think I'm Coverville FTH. I can't remember anymore.
You're Coverville.
But yeah. I'm Coverville in MA2. Mm-hmm. Then prepare for a nice, easy attack. a nice, easy battle.
Yeah, that would be interesting for sure. So here comes one of our favorite bits from Agent Sketches. Hello all, and welcome back to the season finale of Playdoms! Consider the following. In this segment, I'll send you a few or more things worth sharing, and you, the host, aka Sexy Beast of the show, will give your thoughts. Now it's time for Playdoms! Consider the following. First, okay, now I will admit I am normal, all right. But when I first saw the artwork for Cloak and Dagger, I was a bit in shock. Please tell me that if something were to happen to Dagger, her nipples would not be exposed from the freaking holes cut from the breast portion of her suit. I mean, because if it does, I'm totally cool with that.
Double-sided tape.
You know, we talked about the art in this game, and it's very 90s, not 90s style, but very 90s mentality of girls wear nothing and the guys are super.
Right.
You know, and I'm with you. I don't quite understand.
Just 90s, Charles? That's the only place
that it seems like getting better now. 90s was the main time I watched.
That's forever in video games.
Well, not video games. I mean, comics. Because the comics have changed over the years. But I remember, in the 90s when it was, for me, in its heyday, as far as when I was reading, Wizard Magazine put out the X-Men swimsuit poster, and it wasn't X-Men, it was the X-Women swimsuit poster, and there wasn't much suit there. I know Playboy has done in the past women of gaming, and it's not actual gaming women, right. And interviewing them, which the articles would have been great if they'd done that. It was artists drawing the characters naked.
Right.
So I don't know, man, but yeah.
There's no more egregious example of this than Power Girl on the DC side and her ginormous boob window.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so we digress. But that's number two. Second, where the hell do Agent Venom's weapons go once he is out of control? I mean, does he now have? I'm not reading that. That's a very good point. Where are you keeping that?
Where do they get stored? Well, they're made out of his same Venom stuff, right?
We'll go with that, yes.
Let's say that, yeah.
And by the way, all these go into from the field. It's FTF, and then it'll have the agent name. And if you subscribe to the newsletter, you'll get a compendium of them every Saturday. Or you can go to the helicarrier, or from the helicarrier. No, it's the helicarrier. Go to thehelicarrier.com. And click on From the Field, and all the newsletters up through last week's episode are there. Put them up about a week behind, just in my process. So if I don't read it, you can still read it there. And it's funny. Third, Disney, if ever you have enough money to add voiceovers in the game, please make Gilbert Gottfried MODOK.
Yes. I love that idea.
Yes. Maybe.
I'm going to be using my laser attack on you right now. I hope you are okay with that.
Maybe give him the longest dialogue in the game. I'll pay extra on my Playdom taxes. That would be awesome.
Oh, my countdown attack is starting. Oh, boy, you're going to be in real trouble now.
Fourth, this is a test. Anyone who guesses the question correctly wins. Take a few seconds to think about it. When it comes to speed, who is the slowest character in the game, Blob or Sugar Man? And the correct answer is, and he wants me to drum roll for 3 seconds, which I'm not going to do, Carolina Dean. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Her Empyrean armor thing that happens every attack. Well, you got to sit through that. Yeah.
The bell has rung. It's time for a commercial break. I hate when people do this. Why are you making me do this? I hate this intro. Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. It's just me, your favorite agent-Mrs. M. Sketches here. Mrs. Dash, I like that. But you can't. But you can call me Charles, Brian, or preferably Paul if you want. We could use some more Paul. Anyways, Kratom, from now on, I'm going to call you guys Linda. So Linda, honey, please listen. I've gotten the chance to make a lot of fun out of the game. Fart and non-fart jokes, but this shit is getting old. And he bleeped it, so I tried to say it like he bleeped it.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, succeeded perfectly with that.
Not saying the game needs more gas, but even McFall can agree everything got off bad when you brought in the Warm Zephyr. And I don't think anyone will forget what you did with Black Bolt's ripped and powered ISO. Its passive name was Silent but Deadly. So please, if you're going to do fart jokes, put them on someone or something fitting like Vapor Villain, or make the Terrigen Mist a fart cloud. I mean, why not? Fox already has one in Rise of the Silver Surfer. MCU can have it too. Same shit. Love you, Linda, with smooches from here to derriere.
Love that idea. Yeah. Can you imagine Storm's cloak? You know, that Rise of Smoke that she uses for her all-ally defense ability or all-ally buff?
Yeah.
Just one big fart. And then you could, if they're adding the voices to the game, they could certainly add like a little when she drops one of those.
It'd definitely be a sight better than the fifth grade kids that you got to do your soundtrack as it is now.
Yes. So, all right. There we go.
hello. And we're back. Let's continue with our final few notes. Fifth. For anyone who was thinking about it there, no, using Howard the Duck's level 9 Ductini 7 times in a row will not make him leave the fight. He and Volstagg must get out a lot. I never had that thought in my life. Sixth, there are many ways to describe Shadow Cat in the game, but all of them best really is Kitty Pryde. I mean, who else is proud?
I'm guessing you're not reading that either.
I, you know, because it caught me off guard and it made me pause, I'm going to have to let you wonder. You'll have to go to the website and read it now. If I'd just gone through it, it would have been fine. But because I paused, it lends itself to much worse than it is. All right. Seventh, something about Moon Knight's sprite makes me want to give him a high five. And finally, eighth, Cammy's counter follow-up attack, get off my lawn, does very little damage because, understandably, it is the same move used by old people. Well, that's all for this time. Thank you all for listening to this very special episode. Linda, just hold it in for a sec. This is honestly very hard for me to come up with, but at the same time, I had a blast writing this in my previous emails. I really hope you all enjoyed them. Of course, I think I am spent on jokes for now, but heck, who knows if I'll come back for a second season. Although it might be a little while before I do. Time will tell. That or Linda lays an egg again. Agent Sketches is out. Nice. Oh, that was well done. Well done. I definitely enjoyed it.
I would kill to hear that as an audio thing that he sent in, like an audio segment.
Yeah, like he did totally himself. Would. Yeah.
Totally would. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like the fact that he does it himself, I think, is key for you. Agent Super Stewie wrote in, said, so here we are in PvP MAA2, and as predicted months ago, all of us who didn't lie and say we lived in Australia are facing those who are all leveled up. It gets me to thinking about cheats and exploits. Is there a difference between lying about where you live to get a leg up and then continuing to lie? Is it more more moral than using an exploit / cheat?
So what he's saying is,
mate.
Yeah, I take umbrage with that.
G'day, Super Stewie. Let's see if we can answer your question.
his base argument is that we said we were from a different country so we could get ahead in the game to then pound him into the dirt when he joined the game. I believe your argument is invalid, sir. That was absolutely not where we came from.
Right, exactly.
People we came from Australia proper, you asshat.
People, that use an exploit or a cheat like that, use it to gain an advantage in the game. We wanted early access. I mean, we wanted access when Playdom released MA2. So I think that's a different thing. So I would take issue with that being a comparing that to an exploit or a cheat. But I'd love to hear what other people's opinions on that. I think
And And to be fair, the only time you get pounded, he didn't use the pounded into the ground phrase, that was mine, but the only time you get, you run up to any kind of resistance like that is in PvP, and you shouldn't be going, if you're a level 12 commander and you're running level 10 heroes or whatever, you should be up against similar teams in PvP. You should never come across Agent Epic Boss FTH where my team would pound a level 12 commander into the ground. That would not give us advantage because we gain nothing from being that much higher from you. You lose for sure, yeah, but we gain nothing from that. So it should
Exactly. Yeah. And hey, feel free to send me a friend invite, and then you can use one of these level 30 characters that I've been leveling up while you've just been sitting around all comfortable and not in Australia.
There you go. So Agent Matt writes in, this is the final one of the day. Hello, agents. Last week, I promised you some teams that would shock and amaze you. Some of you may have thought I was talking about Shocker, but it's a little too early for that just now. I look forward to building some teams with him in the future, but for now, I wanted to look at a couple of team-ups for Electro that fall outside the box but are still giving me some enjoyment. Since coming into the game, Electro has developed a reputation as one of the more versatile team-up characters we've seen in quite a while, showing unexpected synergies with a lot of different heroes. These two team-ups are no exception and function on the same basic theme, using Electro's surge ability on the enemy teams instead of your own. Why would you want to give the other team an advantage like this? Because along with Electro, you're going to be using two characters that get stronger when attacked with electric attacks. Iron Man, the first character we ever got in this game, and the time-traveling human power pack, Bishop. For the team-up with Iron Man, especially the Mark 42 suit, you may remember the picture of his photoconductive EISO that I posted in the lounge about a week ago. This EISO grants him a stack of unibeam focus whenever he's attacked with an electrical attack. Since Electro is making all the enemy's attacks electric attacks, you can just sit back with the enemy's while the enemies give Tony Stark all the charges he needs to blow enemies away with his level 9. I'm hoping this is more than theory. I'm hoping he tested that out because that's really cool.
Yeah, sounds cool.
For the team up with Bishop, remember that he can protect against elemental attacks, which include electric attacks. So thanks to Electro, Bishop can now block the enemy's attacks and power up his powerful second tier abilities in the process. Also, if you won the reward suit from last PvP season, you can pull off the same trick with the agent, since hitting enemies while wearing the suit makes your enemy's attacks ice attacks. Both of these team-ups fit into my overall PvP philosophy of having the other team giving you what you need to defeat them, which I'm looking forward to talking about more in my next report. Agent Matt is out. Very interesting, because I was wondering why indeed would you give another team the electricity attack, and that makes sense. One last thing about that, I've been playing with Electro a lot, and I don't know if other teams are, I guess I should pay a lot more attention to it, but I don't know if other teams are really putting on the ISO that you can buy that makes you immune to shock. But I noticed that my other two team members on my attack team are not triggering shock nearly as much as they should be. You know, because they have electric type attacks, and I've already done the electric shock across the board, and they should be every time they hit, and I have lots of follow-ups on my stuff. Every time they hit, it should be going into shock central, and it's not quite doing that. So I'm not sure if there's a bug or if I'm not paying attention to what the protections are or what, but there you go. All right, if anything before we get out of here.
Trying to think if I've got a tip for MAA2 or Academy is just like one of the last things to recommend. Oh, yeah, here's a really cool tip. This is great. And okay, it's Academy, so if you don't play it, you don't care about it, this will be the last thing you hear about Academy from the Helicarriers. So let's go out with a swan song. The new disruptor balls that drop that you need for the fights, you can actually start your 8-hour missions anticipating that you're going to get one of those when you go to bed. So hit all the 8-minute missions for all the characters that can get those disruptors. So Tony Stark, Wasp, Black Widow, et cetera, et cetera. Start their 8-hour missions, go to bed. When you get up in the morning, just keep, don't collect them, but just keep refreshing the disruptor ball missions until you get one that uses those tasks, and you'll just be able to collect it and get your ball immediately. It's a super cool, fast way to get those.
Nice.
And you can get like 6 or 7 of them in the morning. So super easy and quick. All right, done. No more Academy on this show. Probably.
Well, it will definitely be the same show, just with spinoff segments instead. So we'll get that there.
Exactly.
And while Ibby gets the voice changer flopped over, I want to remind everybody, check out Giant Size Team Up. .com. We've got so many great shows over there. DC on Screen, MCU Cast, but the favorite of all that we love, Breaking the Panel. Breaking the Panel is the flagship show of the Giant Size Team Up Network. It's myself, Klotz, Chris Wisdom, pretty much each week. Ibbitt comes in every other week because of his great busy schedule, but he comes in and does some amazing stuff. And we have other guest hosts from the network on, including Jason Goss, and we've had Jeff Randall on, and we've had Travis Jones of the Blazing Defender Report. It's a lot of fun. Go check out our latest episode, which is the Batman versus Superman review, where we just kind of ring the bell and go at it, and you'll hear pretty much every point of view about this movie that could be represented. It probably is, yet we still remain friends. We're a lot of fun. Check it out. Breaking the Panel, Giant Size Team Up Network. There you go. Now this is where you say
no ending theme music.
No, I still don't have it.
Okay, you can add that in post.
And with that, the ending music and the boss have fled.